is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends, this is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Well, praise God for the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. So glad you're with us here at Bible Home Church today. You know, so many people talk about liberty. There's an entire political party. They call themselves the Libertarians. And I've met a lot of them. They're a lot of nice people. But, you know, they claim to be free of Christianity is to have liberty. And they proclaim themselves in to be Libertarians. But the Bible says that what you're in bondage to, you become a slave of. And they are in bondage to sin. They have no idea, perhaps, that they're in bondage, but they are. They're in slavery. It's a strange paradox that if you give your life to Christ, you will gain it. But if you deny Christ and seek to save your life for the world, you will lose it. That's what Jesus said. Those who attempt to save their lives will lose it, and those who give their lives will gain. You see, my friends, it doesn't matter how much of the world that you own or are able to acquire. There was a best-selling poster some years ago. It had to do with greed, financial greed. It showed a picture of a huge mansion or estate with a long and winding driveway. It must have been 500 acres. This gorgeous mansion or home. And there was a Rolls Royce parked in front of the home. And the words at the bottom said, "He who has the most toys when he dies wins." Got to be popular. He who has the most toys when he dies wins. Well, I, being of an inquisitive mind as your pastor, I asked this question. Wins what? He who has the most toys wins what? I have the answer. The Bible has the answer. You win a trip. And it's not a round trip. It's a one-way trip. It's not the fanciest accommodations. They're a little bit hot as you slide down into that place called hell. That's what he who has the most toys wins a free trip to hell. Because the Bible says it is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. No, it's not like the reincarnationists say, the New Agers. You don't keep coming back again and again till you get it right. Because you don't ever get it right, my friends. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so you give yourself to Jesus because he's got it right. Oh, what a web we weave when once we practice to deceive ourselves. Well, we're going to begin a new series today, and it's really a wonderful series. And yet, well, I'm on a campaign trail today. I have to admit, I'm on my soapbox. I've been accused of that, and I hope you'll forgive me a little bit and give me a little bit of leeway today. We're going to start a series about hate crimes against Christians. I don't know if this sounds so terrible, but I'm just going to have to tell you, I'm sick and tired of Christians being persecuted, being hated. I know the Bible said we would be, but the Bible doesn't say you'll have to like it. Although Jesus did say that he would give us contentment. Do you think Jesus would forgive me if I was just a little bit discontent with what the world does to Christians? You see, hate crimes are being committed against Christians day and night today. And yet they call us hateful. They call us bigoted. They call us intolerant. But they're the haters. I just wanted to tell people a little bit about some of the things that are going on. And I hope you'll give me just a little bit of leeway on that. But before we begin, I want to tell you something that's just wonderful and great. It's the song, How Great Thou Art. Oh, that was a great song. George Beverly Shea sang, and that's one of my old-time favorites, How Great Thou Art. My good friend Johnny Ray Watson sang a very unusual rendition of that not too long ago, and I've got the CD for it, and we're going to play it right now for you. How Great Thou Art. Here's Johnny Ray Watson, and right after that, we'll be back with part one of Hate Crimes Against Christians.
Consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. In sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly buried, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ the Father, with the out of acclamation,
there's a lot of talk today about hate crimes. Hate crimes. Now, hate, of course, is an emotion. And I believe people who hate can commit crimes and thus be criminals. And it might be that it is the hate in the heart of these men and women that propels them or induces them to commit a crime. But we have to understand that regardless of what the world says, hate itself is not, or it should not be, a crime. It certainly is a sin. But is it a crime? Can a person simply hate another person for whatever reason. It could be the other person's race or national origin, or might be the which of the 50 states the person lives in. It might be that one person doesn't like a person with red hair, and a red-haired person doesn't like a person with brunette-colored hair, with black hair or brown hair. It could be a person doesn't like a black man. Could be that a black man hates a white person. The hate itself commits no harm until, of course, that hate propels to action. So we need to, of course, separate the emotion from the event, from the action that it causes. But the government doesn't seem to want to do that today. And thus, if you commit what they believe is a hate crime, you could be punished much more severely. For example, if you assaulted a person, it would probably be a state offense in the state of Kentucky or Mississippi or Colorado, wherever you're at. Every state has laws against assault. And if you assaulted a person, perhaps with your fist, let's say you got into a fight on a street corner and you hit a person, you could be charged with assault and battery. And it might be that an offense, if it's your first offense like that, I would assume, depending on the locality and the judge, how the law is applied, you could get probation, you could get 10 days in jail. Probably at the most, you would probably get 60 or 90 days in jail for assaulting a person with your fists. But if you're a white person and you assault a black person, you might be charged with a hate crime. And that's not just simple assault. Now, it may not be any more damage than a white person who assaulted another white person. But if it's white on black, for example, it would be a federal offense. And it would escalate to the federal level. And you might be sent away to prison for 10 to 20 years for a hate crime. So there is a great disparity or a difference in punishment for those who commit hate crimes. And of course, the federal government today, in its attempt to be politically correct, with its all-seeing eye, is looking every which way, left and right and up and down, north and south, trying to find those who are guilty of hate crimes as opposed to those who are just guilty of crimes. Now, I want to assure you, my friend, that if you take a gun and you shoot another man or you shoot a woman, they will be just as dead whether they are black or white or Chinese or Indian or whatever, just as dead. But if you kill them because they were of that race, it could be far more serious, an offense. In fact, it might be that they may find you innocent, acquit you, not guilty, in a state court for murder, and then the federal government can turn you around and charge you for a hate crime of killing a person, and you might be sent away for 20 or 30 years for the hate crime, even though you were found innocent of doing the crime. So there's all kinds of ways that they can come down on so-called hate criminals. Now, I want you to understand something, my good friends. The Bible talks a lot about hate. God says, for example, in the book of Isaiah, all those who hate me love death. So if you're a hater of God, you're a lover of death. That's what the Bible says. Oh, there's a lot about hate in the Bible. You see, hate is totally opposed to God's way, because John, the Apostle John, just flat out declared, God is love. God is love. Now, there have been books and books and books written about love. What is the definition of love? How can you prove love? How can you express love? What is a greater way to love a person? The Bible says, Jesus, in fact, told us to lay down your life for a friend. There's no greater love than that. And Jesus calls us his friend if we know him as Lord and Savior. He laid down his life for us. That is the very definition of love. So first of all, I want you to understand, we're going to talk about hate crimes against Christians today. And I want to start off on this basis. That in fact, the Christian is the greatest lover in the world. You see, we have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then we are full of love. Now, I know that there are people out there who have called themselves Christians who have not always appeared to be full of love. In fact, some of them do, in fact, seem to be pretty hateful. But then there have always been those who call themselves Christians, but weren't. We're not going to dwell on those fakers and hypocrites. I'm simply trying to inform those of you who don't know that God is love and he totally opposes hate, what the Bible says. The Bible is true, whatever you seem to glimpse from human behavior. At a New Age conference some years ago, Dick Gregory, a black comedian, was with John Denver, the late singer and New Ager. And he gave a big speech in which he declared that Christianity is a hateful religion. After all, said Mr. Gregory, Adolf Hitler was a Christian and look what he did. Well, I suppose I could say that atheism is a very hateful system and communism and socialism, because look at Joseph Stalin, look at what he did, and Mao Zedong, look at what that monster did. But you see, here we're trying to defend ourselves because Hitler was a Christian, we're told, when in fact, all of the evidence is exactly to the contrary. While Adolf Hitler was indeed raised to be a Roman Catholic, and we already see some problems immediately there when we define Roman Catholics as Christians, since they are not born-again Christians, not all of them. Most Catholics are not. And it was the Catholic institution that carried out the great Inquisition, torturing, maiming millions of suffering Christians back in the so-called Dark Ages. Be that as it may, the fact is that Hitler was an occultist. And any good biography of Hitler will reveal to you this very fact. He hated Christians. I've told you before of the story of Martin Niemöller, the Christian pastor, a true Christian, who preached against the Nazi crimes. And for this, he was called to account for his Christian teaching to the chancellery office, and was made to stand right in front of Adolf Hitler as Hitler pounded his desk and screamed and hollered. He told Pastor Niemöller, I will send you to a concentration camp, you and your entire family, if you continue to preach against me and the Third Reich. And Niemöller left Hitler's office. And he went back, and the next Sunday, he preached the sermon that God had given him, in which he told his small congregation that what the Nazis were doing was a great sin. And I understand that that very night, they did indeed come for Martin Niemöller. He was asked by another pastor, why are these things happening to us? We are Christians. Why are these things happening to us? Why isn't God protecting us? To which the good pastor responded, God is testing us to see what manner of men we are. Now, friends, there are those who hate Christianity today. And in their hate, they will actually accuse you of being the hater. Why would they hate Christianity? Well, you have to understand, my friends, Jesus said they would hate you, and they will kill you even, and think that they do God's service, but that should not surprise you. we offer through the ministry Fox's Book of Martyrs for your gift of $10. You'll read the courageous true stories of Christians who are burned at the stake, persecuted vilely, horribly for their faith in Christ. Recently I read another book, sort of an updating of Fox's Book of Martyrs entitled Torchbearers. Christians in today's world tortured for their faith. A few years back, I was reading a story of a man who had his ears cut off. He was down in Nicaragua during the so-called socialist revolution of the Sandinistas, the communists down there. They captured this man. They knew he was a Christian. The communists did. They beat him severely. They tied him to a tree. They burned him with fire over much of his body. And then they took out their knives and they carved his ears off. And of course, all of this was great pain. And as they did it, they mocked and laughed at him. And they said to him, "Where is your Jesus? Why will he not come to save you?" You know, my friends, there is a point in the book of Revelation where it says all of those who have died for the faith stand before God in his great holy altar, and they cry out with one voice for vengeance. And God says, "Have patience for just a little bit longer. There are still others to come." Oh, there will be martyrs in the last days, no doubt about it. Because of the great hatred being spewed out against Christians. My friends, what you have to understand is the Bible makes very clear what a man sows, he also shall reap. And what you do to Christians, listen to me, if there is anyone out there, and I assume there always is, if you've tuned in, if you're a hater of Christians, listen to me very carefully. There can be no greater punishment that God will mete out to a man than to that man who abuses and persecutes God's children. Would you not do it, my good friend? If someone took your child, you're a human father, if they took your child and took him out and horribly tortured and abused and killed him, what might you do in vengeance? You have such limited powers. Imagine if you had all of the powers of the universe and no one could stop your vengeance and you would be able to wreak whatever vengeance you sought. Well, God does have that power. And the Bible says that his fury will be kindled in the last days. In other words, like a great fire or burning furnace, God's fury will come against the inhabitants of the earth. Read Isaiah 26 and 27. Those who have persecuted God's people, he will come in great fury to exact judgment. Now, why does the world hate us so much? First, it hated Jesus Christ, our Savior. Are we better than he? It hates, the world hates today, the cross of Jesus. Why? Because the cross is the diametric opposite of carnal, self-centered living. Think about that. What the cross represents is not what you see on MTV or Cinemax or HBO or any one of a thousand other forums in the world today. And worst of all for the world and its hatred is a narrow form of Christianity. You see, Jesus said narrow is the way, and that's exactly what the world hates. The world hates the narrow way and seeks the broad way to destruction, the Bible says. You see, Christianity says our beliefs are exclusive. I'm accused all the time of saying that only people who believe like I do can go to heaven. They say, "Is that what you believe, Mr. Mars?" To which I respond, "Yes, yes. Only people who believe like Tex Mars does will go to heaven." Now, what do I mean by that? Let me define it. Only people who believe in what Jesus did on the cross and who repent of their sins and follow him as Lord. That's what I believe. That's what Tex Mars believes. Now, there are 1,000 small, unessential doctrines and teachings that some people have. We can argue all day about those things. Those aren't going to send you to hell. There's some people who eat meat and some people who do not. Neither one are going to send you to hell, but if you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. There's some people who go to church on a Saturday. Others go to church on a Tuesday. That's not going to get you into hell. And I beg to differ with our good Seventh-day Adventist friends. It just won't happen. Because the Apostle Paul said, as far as holy day is concerned, don't let anybody judge you. One person has this day, another person has this day. Let every person be convinced in their own mind. Let the Holy Ghost speak to them, in other words. No, my friends, please understand. It is true if you do not believe what the Bible says and follow it and be saved and become a new person in Christ, you will go to hell. You absolutely will. There's no doubt about it. If you're unsaved today, you better heed what I'm saying. There is a narrow way. You say, oh, well, that's just what you believe, Tex Mars. If it were just what I believe, I would be making the Bible a liar. Because the Bible says that the Bible is not, God's Word is not of a private interpretation. I don't have any private interpretation. And again, it reminds me of the time I was on a KLBJ radio here locally in Austin, the number one listened to radio station, on a talk show, and the gentleman called me up and was just castigating me because I believe Jesus is the only way. And he said, you can't prove that from the Bible. And I said, well, of course I can. I showed him in the Bible that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And the gentleman just inexplicably said, well, that's your interpretation. I said, well, let me read it to you again without any interpretation. On my part, let me just read it to you verbatim. I read it again. He came back with a second time and said, but that's your interpretation. I said, well, I'm not interpreting anything. I'm just reading what God said. He said, but that's your interpretation, Mr. Mars. You see, it was the plain words of God. I didn't add 2 cents to it.
Please tune in next week as Pastor Mars continues his sermon, Hate Crimes Against Christians. May God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.